All right, let's see if I can do this right, Dr. Crane. It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Joe are both out today. Joe is traveling to Kennesaw, Georgia to watch MTSU. Not watch, call MTSU and Kennesaw State, the Blue Raiders and the Owls. And then Chase just needed a well-deserved work day.
From what I heard, from what the pigeon has told me through the little letter they put through the air, they both went to this wonderful Microsoft, I think it's cloud storage. You know, Chase has a lot of those going on.
We were just in his office. He's got a ton of them.
It's cloud on his storage. Whole wall. From what I know is Joe went along with him. I think Chase said Joe couldn't go alone, and you need somebody that's well experienced with all that stuff.
Well, I heard it's taking place in Rayon City, and Joe is very connected out there, so they needed a place to stay, and Joe got them hooked up. Which, I mean, that is the highest praise of them all, to be connected in Rayon City. So
it's like going to England, meeting the king.
The Golden Palace.
Yeah. That's what it is. Round City's England, essentially.
We are broadcasting today from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We got a fun show today. Uncle Chris Sanders, will join us at 1 p.m. today to talk about the Titans, and he's got a big high school football game tonight, too, as Baylor is heading down to Big Red territory to take on NBA. I got some stuff to ask him about him. We'll get to our question of the day momentarily. And I'll sweeten the deal, because it's a special day. Both of us are on here.
Indeed.
For our question of the day, you will win a winner with the best text of the day. We'll win a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Yacht Rock Review at the Ryman Auditorium on Saturday, February 7th, 2026.
It's a big concert.
It's a big concert. I know George Plaster will be there, because he's a yacht rocker, as he
told me.
Love
yacht rock.
He loves yacht rock. So, Dr. Crane?
Yeah.
Why don't you set us up with our question of the day presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ArriesTactical.com.
Well, thank you, Connor. Yeah, I just, you know, the Titans have been so bad the whole entire year. I thought, you know what, maybe this would be a good time to maybe just bring it out there. So, you know, since the Titans have been bad, here is the question of the day. If the Titans were a warning label, what would it say on it?
Oh,
and I'll leave it open for the text line.
That's a good one.
You have one off the top of your head?
I would have to think about some funnier ones, but off the top of my head, I would say caution, will not convert on third down, or something like that.
Mine was fragile, must be Italian, because this team is littered with injuries, and they're all gone, so that's what I went with that one. But this should be a great one. I know the text line will definitely come in clutch with a bunch of great answers, and I just think it's great. So, yeah. Again, 615-737-1025. The best text wins some Yacht Rock tickets. So, again, the question is, if the Titans were a, I guess, caution label, what would it say? And I'll leave it up to you guys on the text line. Thank you.
We, again, have a fun show today. Uncle Chris at 1. We'll play Celebrity Birthdays and Where Are They Now, of course, at 245, which will be interesting because neither of us are over the age of 30. So that'll be fun. We'll incorporate a little bit of our stuff at 12:45 today. The debut of Where Are They Now? Duels. And I'll explain that how that works later on. But essentially, you're going to give me 5 Where Are They Now? Players. I'm going to give you 5, and we're just going to go at it.
I love it. Back and forth.
It's going to be fun. Let's get started on the Titans. So L'Jarius Sneed had some interesting comments towards Nico Collins, who is arguably a top 10 receiver in the NFL, plays for the Houston Texans. Obviously, that's their opponent this week. We do not have clear evidence as to why he says this, but basically, I think it was TD actually, asked, you know, L'Jarius Sneed, what is your assessment of Nico Collins? How do you plan to contain him? And L'Jarius just goes, who? And then,
who?
You know,
what?
TD asks again, you know, Nico Collins, he's a great receiver, and you're going to have to do a lot to lock him up. Who? And then he walks off. I don't know about you. I don't like that.
No.
You're digging your own grave. And I feel like Nico Collins is a young receiver, and he's young enough and fast enough to have a breakout game, especially for a Houston Texans team that's 0-3 on the season and desperately needs this win if they want to compete for an AFC South title. You just motivated. You put some fuel to the fire of Nico Collins and the Houston Texans, and I don't like that.
You woke the beast is what you did. And Nico Collins responded with, oh, he knows who I am. He knows exactly who I am. So the fact that you went after one of the best wide receivers in the AFC South, L'Jarius Sneed, I don't know what the mindset is. I know it's jawing, you're going back and forth, that's football. But when you know your track record is not being available for games, your knees are not healthy, your quad's not healthy. Now you probably are healthy to a certain degree. I know the Titans have had him on a pitch count the last couple weeks, getting him back into play. But now, you can't go after the top dog. You can't go after the rainbow fish if you're a grizzly bear. You can't do that.
No.
That's a terrible analogy, but whatever.
That was so fourth grade math book right there.
Hey, we are a fourth grade math book.
Yeah.
Essentially that.
Life is a fourth grade math book.
You're right. Just keep it in between the lines, I guess. But no, Sneed can't be doing this primarily because if you're coming off a pitch count, and I'm not saying he had one last game, yes, he's getting to the point where he's getting back to being a serviceable corner. But when you get rid of a guy like Jarvis Brownlee Jr., guess what? Your snap count's going to go through the roof.
Which I am still befuddled as to why they did that. I know why they did it, because I know some things.
I think it might be out by now about his attitudes so forth. Yeah,
but it's still a young player like that getting the reps that he was getting. I don't think you trade him for that low of a price.
I mean, look, if somebody's, and I come deviating a little bit, but look, if there's a guy in the locker room, and I'm just all hearsay, not to the T, but if he's being an issue, and you draft him in the fifth round, and you get rid of him for a sixth round, you're not losing much. Now, I get it. There is a big upside to that. You could have probably milked it a little bit to where you got maybe a fourth, or just something better than a fifth at what you drafted him at. I get all that. But in the same context, Mike Borgonzi is probably thinking, look, I'm not a part of this old regime. I didn't draft him. Sure, he may be a good player on the upside, but if you're going to be an issue, guess what? Bye-bye. Like, that's Borgonzi to me. If Borgonzi is the one that made the move, which he should be because he's a GM.
Yeah, he should be the one. That's why I don't understand why you tried Callahan out there to talk about a trade that he was not involved in.
I think Borgonzi.
But what's Callahan going to say? Because every single question he's asked is, well, we're going to keep it in-house. I could ask him what time he went to bed last night, and he would say, I'm going to keep that in-house. If I hear it one more time, I'm going to throw my phone across the wall.
Yeah, I don't know what is worse, hearing we'll keep it in-house or the question about Cam Ward's confidence. I think I've heard that confidence question every single week of the year so far.
I don't know my attitude towards that. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But to the point, though, you're right. Borgonzi should have been the one, answering questions. But at the same time, it's not him that's directing all this, I guess you'd call it cinema in some regard, because they just don't want him to speak. I don't know why that is. I guess, if anything, I'd like to hear Chad Brinker speak, because he's a part of all of this. So I don't know.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. I'm trying to decide if I want to read what Adam in Portland just said about L'Jarius Sneed not, because I feel like we'll get in trouble.
I'll give it a gander. I'm still loading up with the text line, but
it's a comment about L'Jarius Sneed's. He took a shot at the Houston Texans.
Probably not. Yeah, probably. I can't get
this time legally.
I don't know, man. I'm still on the fence about, the Titans secondary. I mean, don't get me wrong. They just signed Amani Hooker to an extension. But at the same time, again, the depth. If you don't have depth, then how can you truly evaluate your defense going forward?
Yeah.
That's the big issue for me. So the Titans, I think, will go 0-4 this weekend.
I agree.
It will be in terrible fashion. I think the Titans will get blown out by 17 or more.
Then do we have the conversation of quick trigger Amy just lost to the team she does not want to lose to? Is it time to make some changes?
That's a great question, Connor.
That's a question we don't have the answer to, because she's unpredictable.
That's true. I said to Chase McJoe about a week and a half ago, and I said this on Jake's show as well, Next Man Up, I think Amy gives him the away trip, the three games, and then when he comes back, and maybe they fire him before New England, and or if they don't and they lose to New England in big fashion, I think that's when, everything will take place. It'll all unfold at that point.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The text line is completely loaded up with answers to our question of the day. Again, Yacht Rock tickets on the line. for the best answer, and we'll get through to those throughout the show. We'll get to some of those next here on the program. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe here on 102.5 The Game, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Lots of answers rolling in for our question of the day. Again, our question of the day today. If the Titans season this year were to have a warning label, what would that be? Let's get to some of your answers. Again, 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. 9708 says, may cause dizziness, drowsiness, and nausea.
That's great.
Fantastic. A lot of you have said this one, but I'll just go off of Justin and Smyrna. Choking hazard. Mm-hmm. I think that's fairly accurate. This one may be in the lead for those Yacht Rock tickets for me. 6727 says, don't worry, you'll win.
Such a boost of confidence.
It's so good. John from Nashville says, watch at your own risk. I can't read this one on the air, but I'll preface it by saying it's something Uncle Eddie says in a Christmas Vacation when he's cleaning out his RV. Blankers full from 6391. That's fantastic.
I mean, you guys are rolling them in. Love the text line. You guys are great interactions every day. This is incredible. Justin and Greenbrier, warning, do not operate heavy machinery, walk your dog, swim, or talk to anyone after consuming Tennessee Titans football. That's great, Justin. That's really good. That's up there for me.
7606, warning, side effects may include itching, anger, anxiety, vomiting, fatigue, and nosebleeds. I think that's more of a medical concern than it is just watching Titans football. But 7092 says, warning, this team is hazardous to your mental health. That's from Lee in Fairview.
I'm telling you, this Titans team is so bad, they are causing its own fan base to go up in an absolute spiral. I mean, a vortex of F5 tornadoes is what this is.
F5 tornadoes?
Yeah, isn't that what that is? Yeah.
That's Brock Lesnar's finisher as well.
Excuse me. My bad.
Sorry, I'm a nerd. 3332 says caution folds under pressure, or they just fold in general. There's not a lot of pressure on them most weeks.
Fold so. Like origami.
Yeah. You should be a rapper.
Hey. I'm not going to comment on that. That's why I'm just not going to comment on that. Back in the day, I used to do some of that.
Uncle, it's Cousin Eddie. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to say Uncle Eddie.
I have an Uncle Eddie. It's okay. That'll work.
Adam in Portland pointed that out to me. Adam in Portland likes to correct my mistakes, and I'm here for it.
He loves you, man. Yeah. He loves you. But no, yeah, these texts are great. Keep them rolling in. I think Will in Kentucky might have my favorite right now. 404, not found. Because this team is nowhere to be found at all.
Yeah, they're Weston Clarksville. You know what? Never mind. I'm not going to read that one.
We'll come back to some of these later in the show. But
real quick, let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our good friend and our pal, Kenny the Mailman. Kenny, what's up, my friend?
Hello, everybody. It's a great contest. I'm so old, the review plays songs from when I'm in high school, so that is good memories. Have you ever noticed the side of a cigarette pack is sort of wordy?
Yes.
It is. Well, here's my warning for you. Warning, the CDC has determined Titans ownership is hazardous to your health, wealth, and mental stability. And with that, you know what? In good humor, there's a lot of truth. And every one of the suggestions so far, you can say, yeah, he's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Kenny. You have a great day. It is an absolutely beautiful day outside today. I just want to say that. Not a cloud in the sky, and we've had rain all week. So nice to see some sunshine today. And there's football to be played tonight, so good for those guys. One more before we move on to get back to LeJarius Sneed a little bit. Kelton on our text line says, object on TV is further than they appear. That one goes deep.
That's great.
If you think about it.
It does.
It goes deep. I really, really like that one. We'll keep those going throughout the show. Again, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Yacht Rock tickets on the line before you can buy them to the best texter, and we will reassess as we go on. But back to the LeJarius Sneed conversation. LeJarius Sneed, if you're just joining us, talking a big game, asked about Nico Collins, who is arguably a top 10 receiver in the NFL, and says, who? And repeats and repeats. And our producer today, Brandon Bigsby, pointed it out to us during the break that Snead and Collins have not matched up in their entire careers yet. So this will be the first time that we see L'Jarius Snead versus Nico Collins. I feel like if L'Jarius Snead has a bad game on Sunday, it's because he dug his own grave. And he did too much talking and not enough backing it up. And that's where my problem lies with this.
Yeah, I feel like if they went up against Houston in like week six, that would be okay to do something like this. Because I feel like he'd be, I wouldn't say healthy like Kansas City Chiefs healthy, but he would be healthy enough to back up his play. I don't think he's healthy enough to back up his play.
Look, I will take this to the grave. That L.A. Rams game a couple weeks ago was his best game in two-tone blue.
Absolutely.
He played great. Now, he gave up a Davante Adams touchdown, but that's Davante Adams. Mm-hmm. He's still a premier receiver in this league. But he played up close. He played personal. He didn't give up, and he played a majority of the snaps. I think he played 93% of snaps during that whole game, which is a lot for a guy that was quote-unquote on a pitch count. So he played a great game. That said, through three games this season, that's been the outlier. He has not been up to par throughout his entire Titans career. That game specifically is probably the outlier. And I want to see forward momentum for L'Jarius Snead. I want to see his career get back on track and be kind of the all-pro corner that he was slated to be when the Titans traded for him. But right now, outside of that Rams game, he hasn't been that. So I don't think you have the ability to talk that talk. Not until you can back it up. And he hasn't done that so far.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a Nico Collins career game. I really do. This is a get-right game for Houston. Not just because of the comments from L'Jarius Snead, but to the point of both these teams are 0-3. And on paper, sure, Houston's having some secondary issues with, what, C.J. Gardner-Johnson and their other corner they just had an injury with. Like, you look at that and say, besides those two factors, this team on paper is one of the best in the NFL, especially in the AFC South. They were the preseason darlings to win the South. So you look at that, and then you look at the Titans' current state where they're at. No J.C. Latham. Dan Moore Jr. is still a, I guess, whatever that is on the left side.
Walmart greeter.
Yeah, Walmart greeter. I mean, this team for the Titans is just not up to par with everybody else. And for Houston, I think it's primarily all C.J. Stroud's issues. I think that's all it is. It's up here in the brain for C.J. Stroud. He's got the talents. I think he's just got to get back, like I said, get right. It's a get right game. I think he just has to get back to the basic fundamentals and target Nico Collins, the guy that's got him to where he's at today.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I want to flip it over to the defensive side of the ball for the Texans. They have probably a top three corner in the entire league on their team in Derek Stingley Jr. So I'm curious, and we'll get to this more on the other side. Now that you've made the change, Brian Callahan is no longer calling plays. Bo Hardigree is going to be the man moving forward. How does that change things with a good defense? Obviously, Houston has Derek Stingley, like I just mentioned. Danielle Hunter. Will Anderson is the young guy they just drafted last year out of Alabama who has been an upstart defensive player. I mean, you could make the conversation. It's between him and Jared Verse as the best young edge in this league. They have guys, Denico Autry, who you're familiar with, our guy Azeez Al-Shaair, who we're familiar with. They have all of these pieces on defense that, in talking with DJ Bieniemy, with TD, on Talking with TD, if you haven't listened, go listen to that. It sounds like the defense is not to blame for the Texans' struggles right now. That offensive line has been putrid. The offense in general has been horrible. C.J. Stroud has not been the quarterback he's been through the start of his career, which is kind of a shock to me. The receivers, other than Nico Collins, have not been up to par to what they're trying to build. But on the defensive side, how does Bo Hardigree's play calling change things? Because I have a hard time believing anything's going to change.
I think, you know, I heard Robbie today talking with TD, I believe. He said that Tony Pollard's like getting 3.6 yards on average. To me, you got to run the ball a little bit more. And TD said it best about running more 11 personnel, 12 personnel out there. That's what you have to do. When things aren't working well in the passing game, and nonetheless, I get it. It's Bo Hardigree's first game as a play caller for the Titans. I get all that. But if you want to make a statement, establish the run. Football has not changed. Why do you think Mike Vrabel had so much success here in Tennessee? Obviously, he had Derrick Henry, but he ran the ball. When you establish the run game first thing to do in a football game, and you're averaging about 4 to 5, maybe 6 yards per carry, you're going to win the football game, obviously. But if you can establish a good run game, because the offensive line's pass pro right now can't do it. You can't do it with what you have out there.
Yeah.
If you can get your interior line to get a good push and get up at least 2 to 3 yards, and you can get 4 or 5 on top of that, and maybe get the running back to the second level or past the second level, I mean, it sounds easy to talk about, but if you can do that, that I think would take care of a lot of the Titans' problems right now. It would keep them in a lot of games. It wouldn't make them into 3-possession games. They'd be in 1-score games easily.
Yeah, and you mentioned the run game and getting that established. The run game for the Titans has taken a serious hit as far as depth, as Khalil Mullins is now on the IR.
Mm-hmm.
You're still missing Tajay Spears. So right now you got 2 guys out there, Tony Pollard, Julius Chestnut. Those are the only 2 running backs that you can trot out there right now unless you make a call to the practice squad. And right now, I don't feel confident about those 2 guys.
No.
I don't feel confident in them getting an established run game, especially, as I mentioned, the depth you have at running back and the depth you have at offensive line right now. J.C. Latham is still out. Kevin Zeitler is up in the air. Your whole right side of the line is in question. And even with those guys healthy, has the offensive line been up to par this year through 3 games? Absolutely not.
Nah.
So, I understand your claim of you got to establish the run game. And I'm not saying that these are all excuses for them not to, but it doesn't work in their favor.
Yeah.
They don't have the talent to do that. Nor do they have, you know, competent play calling to do that. So,
yeah, but I just think with the run game, and Cam Ward's talked about this, you can't be behind the sticks when it's like 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. You can't be in those scenarios. I think if you run the ball, it keeps you in those 3rd and manageable plays. And if you can be 3rd and manageable in the NFL, that gives you a fighting chance. I'm not saying the run game has to be the end-all be-all.
Yeah.
But it definitely has to play a bigger factor than the pass game. Even though Cam Ward, we know he has a great arm. We know he can throw the ball great. But you can't do that right now. You have to establish something that's been in football since the 1900s.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. We'll keep the conversation going on the other side. Plus, we'll kind of focus more in on the Bo Hardigree portion of this. How do you feel about Bo Hardigree calling plays for the first time for the Titans on Sunday against the Texans? Again, you can text or call us. We'll get to that on the other side. Chasing Big Joe with Connor Newt and Nick Frazier here on 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe here on 102.5 The Game. Hey, looking for a good spot to watch NFL games on Sunday? Then you should come to Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Texans. Pre-game show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Old National Bank, Circa Sportsbook Kentucky, and Tennessee Brew Works. Welcome back in. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier again, taking over the program today here on Chasing Big Joe. Chasing Joe off doing some cloud storage stuff over in Rayon City. So we're holding things down today. So we're having the conversation. Obviously, the news of the week, Bo Hardigree is taking over play calling duties from Brian Callahan in his first big test this Sunday in Houston against the Texans. Off the top of your head, Frazier, what is your gut feeling heading into this one, knowing Bo Hardigree is calling the plays?
I want to see if he targets Calvin Ridley, because like the whole narrative the last couple weeks, and they keep asking Brian Callahan this, how can you get Calvin Ridley out of his funk? How can the staff help him get out of his funk? I want to see if Bo Hardigree has some play calls up in the noggin for Calvin Ridley. Because if he doesn't, to me, that goes to show you Bo Hardigree is a part of the youth movement.
Yeah.
He's ready to get Elik Alemaner, Chim Dike. He's ready to get all of those guys more reps, even if, you know, they bring up Xavier Restrepo at some point in the season.
Catch the strep, baby.
But that's another topic for another day. But I would like to see Bo Hardigree kind of just go with this youth movement. But at the same time, if Calvin Ridley's still on the docket for him to be a part of this team, let's see if he targets him 5 to 6 times this game this Sunday.
To me, I look at Bo Hardigree and I look at the relationship he has with Cam Ward. Obviously, Cam Ward loves Bo Hardigree. If you listen to his press conferences, he mentions Bo all the time. They work together at practice. I've seen it in person. They have a great relationship. So going into this one, I feel like this play calling is going to be very Cam Ward-centric. How can we get Cam in the best possible position in this game that we possibly can? And that's maybe you take a deep shot. Maybe you let him do what he's naturally good at and throw the ball down the middle through the seams. I think that's something you need to look at is how centralized this offense will be around Cam Ward. Because to be honest with you, under Brian Callahan, I didn't feel that way. I felt it was, let's play this as conservatively as we possibly can. Cam, throw a bubble screen on the outside to Elik Ayomanner. Cam, hand the ball off to Tony Pollard on 3rd and 8 up the middle. It was not Cam Ward centralized. So I'm curious to see how this offense looks if it is, in fact, Cam Ward centralized, and it should be because he's your number one pick at quarterback, and if you want to prove that you're a franchise quarterback, then you should probably take the reins of the offense. I want to see how centralized this offense looks for Cam Ward.
Yeah, I think under Brian Callahan, we saw a, discombobulated conservative approach. Is that the right way to put it?
Yeah, it was Fisher ball on crack.
Yeah.
We'll say that.
That sounds about right. I think Bo Hardigree, I'm also intrigued to see how the team responds. You know, they talked about this week, you know, Bo will take over. Brian said Bo will take over with the play calling, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And it's still going to be a collaborative effort as to, you know, Nick Holtz takes over the base offense. Hardigree still takes over on third down. And the wide receiver coach takes over, red zone is what it was with McCoy.
It's like a super, I don't know, I don't want to say disorganized because it's clearly organized, but it's super unnecessarily divided, feels like.
Yeah, I'll look at it this way as like there's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yep.
Like whatever happened, just having an offensive play caller, ensure that you could, you know, have your game planning the whatever days before it is, Sunday, whatever it is. You can still have your planning out of the mapping of plays, but at the same time, to me, it just seems like there's too many people talking. There just needs to be one line of communication. It's like same thing with the front office. There's too many different avenues of communication. Chad Brinker, Borgonzi, Callahan, to Amy, whatever. Same thing with the offensive coordinator. If Nick Holtz is the offensive coordinator, what's the point of having that job title if he's not calling the plays?
Yeah. Oh, I've been asking the question the whole time. What does Nick Holtz do?
Nobody knows, I don't think. I mean, we know he takes over the base offense. That's about it. But
I don't doubt that he's involved and he has a role on game days. But if you're the offensive coordinator and you're not calling plays, then what is your purpose?
I said this on Jake's show a couple days ago on Tuesday. Tony Tuesdays. Tony Tuesdays. Big Joe gave me some credit for this on the Chase McJoe show later that day. I personally think Brian Callahan put him in the OC position because if everything panned out in the same way it did for Callahan when he was in Cincinnati and I think Burrow's rookie year when they went to the Super Bowl, something like that, he'd get a better job somewhere else. And I think he was trying to, you know, do Holtz a solid and give him a better job eventually. But I don't think that's how it went. I really don't. And obviously we see it all unfolding terribly. And I think that's what happened. I think he was just trying to set up his good childhood best friend into a better job position, and it didn't pan out that way. So
yeah, I mean, we harp on Vrabel all the time for giving his buddies jobs. Like Shane Bowen was the defensive coordinator. Obviously, Todd Downing, the OC.
By the way, he's in New England again.
Is he?
Yeah, not again, but he's
again,
with
Vrabel.
He's with Vrabel again.
He is the wide receivers coach at New England right now.
Thank you. Look at that.
Thank you,
ladies and gentlemen. History was just made.
Yes.
As Brandon Bigsby has made his on-air debut here at 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Brandon.
The man.
The man. He's my guy right now. Yes. We harp on Mike Vrabel for hiring his buddies. As we just mentioned, Todd Downing, Shane Bowen, guys like that. Craig Aukerman was the special teams coordinator and would not be fired for God knows why.
Yeah.
Brian Callahan's doing the same thing. I mean, Nick Holtz is the offensive coordinator.
Blood relation. Father, offensive line
yes.
coach. So to me, when I look at that and see, you know, Bill Callahan as an OC, or not OC, offensive line coach, I wonder if he's out of his prime a little bit or if they just didn't invest that much. I mean, I get they invested into Dan Moore Jr., but like I don't know. I'm at a loss of words for this offensive line when I think of Bill Callahan, because I think he's done a really good job at teaching the basic fundamentals. But at the same time, this team is just so discombobulated. Like, they're not learning on top of what they already have as a base knowledge, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what bothers me a little bit. I feel like there's a disconnect somewhere. There has to be, because, and I get it with injuries as well, but minus injuries, this team just doesn't have it. And I know that kind of deviated from the original question of what do you want to see from Bo Hardigree on Sunday. And to kind of go back to that, I just want to see stuff with the basic fundamentals.
Yeah. Go back to the basics. And that's kind of what the coordinators were harping on this week. And it was Denard Wilson, I believe, was talking about, we need to go back to the basics. How basic do you need to go? Like, I don't want to say it's not hard, because the NFL is the highest level of American football in the world. But how basic do you need to go to look competent?
It's easy for him to say that we need to go back to the basics, because they just got rid of Jarvis Brownlee Jr. Team's 0-3. They have to go back to the basics. They have no other option. If they don't go back to the basics, guess what happens? Bye-bye.
But don't worry. Jalen Armour Davis is coming in, and he's going to look great.
Love to hear that. I am so pumped. So pumped.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Coming up next, it is myself and Nick Frazier on the air today.
Yes.
So we will take some elements from the Saturday show and bring them to Friday. It's Where Are They Now? Duels. Oh, so you and I are going to go at it 5-on-5, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm ready.
You won't want to miss it. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier right here on Chase and Big Joe here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe here on 102.5 The Game. About to play our favorite game, but real quick, let me tell you that the Blue Raiders will take on Kennesaw State tomorrow at 5 p.m. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. All right. So you heard the music. You'll hear it again as we get this game underway. Where are they now? Usually this is a three-man game, but we've narrowed it down to two because I think this is an interesting concept we got going on here. The rules are, five players. We are going to give each other five players and or coaches. The first three are in North America. That's the United States, Canada, and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And the final two are anywhere throughout the world. Our job is to guess where those players or coaches are now. It is 1 point if you get the specific league. That's like NFL, NBA, MLB, whatever. Could be CFL, could be UFL, any league in North America. It is 2 additional points if you guess the specific team. In the event of a tie, which will be interesting, we'll give each other career paths of a former or a current professional athlete based on the specific sport, and our job is to guess that. All right.
This will be tough.
Are we clear on the rules?
I think so.
Okay. Brandon Bigsby, hit that music. All right. You can turn it down just a little. Thank you. I'll go first, Frazier.
Okay.
Former Kentucky Wildcat.
Oh, boy.
And you knew it was coming with me on this show. Former Wildcat forward. Went pretty deep. Went to the Elite Eight and lost to Auburn. Where is PJ Washington playing today?
Oh, boy. PJ Washington, I'm going to say the G League. And he plays for the Miami Heat's G League team.
He is in the NBA.
Oh.
Playing for the Dallas Mavericks. He was involved in the Luka trade.
Oh, that's right. I thought he just kind of fell off after that trade.
He came over. I think it was in some fashion. He came over with Anthony Davis. Or no, I'm sorry. He was not. He was involved in the Charlotte Hornets trade.
Okay.
It was him for former Volunteer Grant Williams.
Ah, okay.
So, he is Dallas Maverick. Ofer.
I'm Ofer.
To start out.
Okay, going to the wonderful game of baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Get ready for this. Oldest pitcher in the majors right now, active pitcher.
Charlie Morton.
Rich Hill.
Oh, Rich
Nickname
Hill.
Nickname is Dick Mountain. That's because of his first and last name.
What now?
Dick Mountain. That, you know, that's his nickname because his name is Rich Hill. You know,
oh.
Nickname for Rich is Dick. and then hill, mountain, get it the height.
Oh, okay.
So you're, I guess you have to say, where is he? He's, go ahead.
Okay.
Where is he now?
I think Dick Mountain is playing in the majors. I will say he is playing for the Athletics.
Incorrect. He is in the majors.
Okay.
Kansas City Royals.
Ah.
He's played for 17 major league teams, so it's kind of crazy.
So that's more than half of major league baseball.
Yeah, seriously. That's ridiculous. Been in the minors. He's been everywhere. So I guess it's 1-0.
I am up 1-0. Yeah.
So you want to go or you want me to go?
I'll go.
Okay.
Or we can go snake if you want.
You go ahead.
Okay. Titans legend, former Titans returner, and he was just beautiful at it.
Mm-hmm.
Not actually. Former Georgia Bulldog, Kyaris Jackson.
Oh. Ooh. This is the cornerback, isn't he?
Yes.
Wasn't he drafted by the Eagles?
Yes.
Kyaris Jackson?
Yeah.
I think so. I say he is now in the UFL playing for the San Antonio Brahmas.
All right, he's in the NFL, playing for the Houston Texans.
Man,
so a revenge game coming up on Sunday.
Was
for
he
Kyaris
drafted
Jackson.
By the Eagles?
Believe so.
Okay, all right.
So I am still up 1-0.
All right,
go for it.
All right, here we go. Going to basketball, your cup of tea.
All right, that's my thing.
PJ Tucker.
Oh,
yes, power forward, small forward, went to the University of Texas.
Dude, still in the league. Holy crap.
Drafted by the Toronto Raptors. Where is PJ Tucker?
I know where he was last, but I don't know if they've bought him out. I'm going to say PJ Tucker is in the NBA.
Okay.
Playing for the Milwaukee Bucks.
You have half that right.
Ugh.
He is in the NBA. Last team to play for in 25 was the New York Knicks.
Oh, that was awesome.
Which is surprising. I was surprised by that.
Wow.
Being a Knicks
He's a Knick.
Fan. Yeah, didn't know
okay.
that.
Okay, so little by little.
So you're
playing
up 2-0.
Small ball
Look
right
at
now.
You, hitting singles.
All right, this is a fun one. Former Nashville Sound and major leaguer, where is Monte Harrison?
Monte Harrison. I believe if I know this correctly, Monte Harrison made the conversion to football.
Mm-hmm.
And is playing at the University of Arkansas as a tight end. And he's like, what, 30 years old?
Look at you go, Nick Frazier.
And we have a tie ball game.
There we go. Whoa, you're ahead.
Oh, I got
3-2.
On the nose. That's right. 3-2.
Monte Harrison, as a 30-year-old, is playing for the Arkansas Razorbacks as a tight end. He's walking on there.
Oh.
So.
It was a walk-on. I thought he was a preferred. Okay. No, it doesn't matter. Walk-on, preferred, walk-on.
Walk-on is non-existent at this point.
Yeah.
So, Nick Frazier. Leads 3-2.
It's crazy. All right, here we go.
Game changes quickly.
It does. My last one for North America. It is still in baseball. I feel like baseball is a good category for all this. Jose Abreu.
Oh.
Had his stint with the Chicago White Sox for the longest time.
Sucked for the Astros.
Yep. Where is Jose Abreu?
Okay, I think he's playing in AAA somewhere. I know he got DFA'd by the Astros.
Correct.
I'm going to say he's in the AL somewhere. I'll say he is playing for the Baltimore Orioles affiliate.
He is not in the, I guess you would call it,
MILB?
MILB. He is in the, let's see, the Winter League Baseball team, the San Juan Senadores, the Senators, I assume. So, yeah, that's that.
Where is this?
It's in North America.
Okay.
I believe San Juan.
San Juan.
Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So you still lead 3-2.
Back to you. This is international now.
Oh, we're international.
Yeah.
Sticking with baseball.
Oh, boy.
Maybe the greatest Linsanity run in baseball history. Where is former Los Angeles Dodger Yasiel Puig?
Ooh, wait a minute. Oh, man. Yasiel Puig is in the KBO. Plays left field for the... Oh, I'm going to go for the Seoul Tigers.
The Seoul Tigers?
I don't know.
So you'll have to help me out on this one.
Sure.
It says South Korea. I'm not sure if that's in the KBL.
KBO?
Let's KBO. See. Korean Baseball Organization, right?
Yeah. Let's see. It should be.
He is in South Korea.
Yeah. It is KBO.
Okay. All
right, sweet. All right,
so he's playing for the Kiwam Heroes.
Kiwam?
Kiwam.
Okay, Kiwam.
In South Korea.
All right. So I'm up 4-2, is that right?
You are. You have a two-goal lead.
All right, going back to basketball.
They say two goals is the most dangerous lead in sports.
Indeed it is. Going back to basketball, your cup of tea. SEC, former SEC basketball player from Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh.
And was drafted by the Miami Heat in 2012. Went to school at Mississippi State. Where is Arnett Moultrie?
Oh, I remember Arnett Moultrie. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'll go with Old Faithful. He's playing in Lithuania for the Lithuanian Ponies.
Incorrect. He's in the Taiwan Basketball League, professional basketball league for the Kaohsiung Aquas.
So, oh!
Yeah.
That was my second guess.
Yeah. Oh, so close. All right, back to you. Toss it back over the net.
Sticking with basketball. Cleveland Cavaliers legend won a championship with LeBron James in 2016. Where is an exciting white point guard, Matthew Dellavedova?
Oh, man. He was legit with Cleveland back then.
Yeah,
he
was.
Where is Matthew Dellavedova? I'm going to go. He's playing in Europe, especially it's going to be in France. Matthew Dellavedova is playing in France for Nice.
He's playing in Australia. Ugh. For the Sydney Kings.
For the Kings.
Kings. The Kings.
Kings.
So you lead 4-2. I need every bit of this one.
Okay. You ready?
Yes.
Baseball.
Oh, God.
Framil Valdez.
Oh, we were just talking about Framil Valdez yesterday. You know how guys just like sit around and name former players?
Yep. He is obviously a Dominican Republic player. He, MLB stats, well... Yeah, I can say this because it's overseas now, yeah. 249 batting average, 108 home runs, and 285 RBIs.
Oh, man.
Where is Framil Valdez? Too. Yeah.
He was really good.
I say Valdez. I meant Reyes. Excuse me. Framil Reyes.
Oh, different player.
Yeah, Valdez, Astro.
Yeah.
Sorry. Framil Reyes.
Reyes.
Excuse me.
Former White Sox. I'm going to say he went back home to the DR.
Okay.
And is playing for... this is always the hard part. The Dominican Tigers.
He is playing in the... I believe you call it the Nippon Professional Baseball League.
Oh, come on!
For the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters. So the Ham Fighters.
The Ham Fighters.
Ham Fighters, okay.
What a name.
Interesting.
So you win.
Yeah.
In an epic proportion.
4-2.
I threw Monte Harrison at you thinking I would throw you off and underestimated you.
Friend of the show. Loves the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should get Jeff Hem to get us in connection with him.
Yeah, we could do that.
What's it like being Unk on the Arkansas team?
They play Notre Dame this week.
Yeah. That's at home.
Yeah.
In Fayetteville.
Hey, you know who's going to be there? Lou Holtz.
Lou Holk?
Holt. Holtz. Did I say that wrong? Sorry.
Lou Holk.
Lou Holk. Oh, I get what you're doing. Yeah. My bad. But hey, fun game.
Yeah. So, you win our first edition of The Duel.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll get you a belt.
Yeah, I would love that. There's a trophy right there in the corner. I might grab that trophy.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think that's a last place trophy. But
yeah. I was a part of that last place trophy.
Oh, so it's yours.
Yeah.
I know the ringleader behind that last place trophy. He's no longer with us. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, Uncle Chris. Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, will join us next. I got some questions to ask him about L'Jarius Sneed. Plus, he's got a big high school game tonight, so we got to get him ready for that. On Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.